Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 59. Today we want to share a conversation about something that so many freelancers find overwhelming, and that is maintaining your website. Our goal with this episode is to dispel the myth that maintaining your website is tedious, hard, or time-consuming, like so many people think. But before we dive in, let's share what's new with us. So we are already a month into the new year by the time this episode airs, and Let's see, what's new? I just took part in presenting for TERP Summit 2022, which was an online conference. And I thought that it was wonderful. They had some really great speakers. And I presented a topic that is specifically for interpreters on how to get more work with their online marketing. I have a course coming up with Training for Translators, which I think I mentioned in a previous episode about Google Ads. And I am also working on some other, courses and webinars and things like that for the coming month or two. What else is new? I've been working a lot on some client projects, especially in copywriting and some translation work as well. And I'm looking forward to planning some more for our podcast because we've got some fun things coming up this year. So we are about to prepare for our next virtual business retreat, which will be in March. And we've got some other things coming up as well that if you're interested, you can take part in. What about you, Veronica?
Yeah, January's been busy. It keeps it keeps going. I've been busy with work, teaching. I'm teaching three courses for my local TNI program this semester and volunteering for ETA. I am also getting ready for the MICATA conference. MICATA stands for the Mid-America Chapter of the American Translators Association. And I really love the theme of the conference, Reboot, Recharge, and Reconnect. So I'm really excited to participate. And of course, I'm getting ready for our joint presentation at the ITI conference in the UK, and excited for our virtual retreats. I'm really happy with how these retreats have been going and all the conversations that happened there between colleagues, and I found myself jotting down notes and getting inspired too during these retreats.
Yes.
So it's really exciting.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. And also the MICATA group is so nice. I spoke at their conference a couple of years ago now? And they're a really wonderful and welcoming group, so you're going to love them. Okay, so back to the topic of today's episode. We all hear about the importance of having a website, but not too many people talk about the importance of maintaining your website once you have one. That said, if you don't have a website yet, perhaps you might think about making it a goal for your business this year. A website should be your main hub, your calling card. It should be where any client who wants to find out more about you can go. It's really not enough to just have a listing in a professional directory or a basic LinkedIn profile or Facebook account. While yes, many of us do have one or all of these things, we don't actually own any of those things. So imagine if tomorrow any of the sites where you have a profile, where you share your services, what if it were to disappear? What would you do? Would you know where to advertise your services? And would your clients know where to find you? So even though it's important to have a variety of ways that clients can find you online, your website is the one digital asset that you actually own. It's the only one that you can really control. You can buy your domain for anywhere between $10 and $20 a year and create a website that gives clients a better idea of who you are, what makes you unique, and what it's like to work with you. But today's episode is not about creating a website. So if you don't have one yet and you'd like some resources about creating a website, feel free to get in touch with us. But let's turn to the idea of maintaining your website. Once you have one, it's not enough to simply have a site, right? You do actually need to maintain it over time. But that doesn't mean that it has to take a lot of time or cost a ton of money. Veronica, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was one of those people a few years ago too, where it's like, well, I have a LinkedIn profile, I have my directory profiles, websites kind of secondary. But once I got into it and I got a website and I saw the impact it made on my business and how easy it, it became so much easier for clients to find me and for me not to worry about, my visibility online. I realized I should have done it sooner. I should have had a website sooner. It's your virtual storefront. And as you said, you own it. It's yours. It's all in your control. You know, I often see, especially on Instagram, you know, so other social media platforms, when people complain like, oh, my visibility is different. Like people can't see mm-hmm. my post or whatever. I always think about, you know, this is not the platform you own. And if they change the algorithm, as they change, that platform that you're on, and they will always do that, it affects your visibility.
Yeah.
It's really hard to have a sustainable presence on something you don't own. And another thing I think to keep in mind too is that when people search online for any kind of professional, it is very likely that the first place they go is a search engine like Google or any other search engine. And it's much easier to have control over your, you know, search engine optimization through your website rather than hoping that your one of your directory profiles or your social media profile will pop up
yeah,
when people
exactly.
search for a translator or interpreter. So let's discuss some areas of your website you need to maintain. First, you'll want to think about what you want your website to do for your business. And if you're like us, you want it to attract clients. You also want clients to see your site and know that you're the right person to hire for the project they need a translator or interpreter for. So with that in mind, you should think about design of your website. It should appeal to your potential clients, which means you have to know what they prefer. You have to know their likes and dislikes. You have to know enough about them. You can do that by, you know, we talked about creating an ideal client profile in our past episodes, but you could also check out their websites, you know, see if your ideal clients have online presence, look at their websites and see how they're organized, what their, colors look like, their navigation, because when they land on your website, you want them to feel that you're on the same wavelength, you know, you're the kind of person they want to hire. And also, it should reflect your brand and your values, your work ethic, whatever you want to communicate to your clients, you know, the services you provide, the kind of environment you typically work in, your approach to work, how it will feel working with you. And there's so many details that go, like design elements that go into it. It's the colors, it's the graphics, it's the navigation, it's the layout of your website. So again, it's so much easier to make it really your own and tweak every little thing you might want to tweak rather than be within the framework of some other online platform where you're on that you don't own. You just have a little page on it or like a profile on it. And I think another thing is that is easy to make a mistake in is to overthink or overcomplicate it or to go after, oh, this looks, you know, beautiful, rather than think, okay, it might look pretty, but is it informative? It might look pretty and informative, but is it user-friendly? And is it intuitive? Does it appeal to your potential client? The first website that I created was, I got a graphic designer to help me design my first website. And it was, I thought it was really beautiful. And I thought it reflected, you know, me and my values and my story and what I and the services I provide. But then after a few months, after I've been, you know, looking at it and using it and talking to people about it, I realized it started feeling like it's not really what I was looking for originally. And I guess I didn't know what questions I should ask in the first place when I started working with a graphic designer, and I didn't know exactly what I needed. So I'm really happy that I went through the process and realized, oh, this doesn't work for me. Oh, this is exactly what I was looking for. I forgot to ask about that. So think of that too, that it's okay to, maybe make some mistakes along the way, but it's good to have somebody to talk to about this who is a professional. And you do need to know, what you're looking for. Think too that design is evolving, and unless you are also a graphic designer, it's really hard to know all of the things to keep in mind. So it is good to check in or to hire a graphic designer to help you. Even if you do set up your website on your own, you can still, like I did with the second iteration of my website, I took your course, Madalena, TNI website blueprint, but then I hired a graphic designer to take a look at my finished product, the finished website, and give me their recommendation and see what could be tweaked from the design point of view. You could also check in with a few colleagues and ask them what is their impression. If you have a good relationship with some clients, you can ask them for feedback or what they thought of when they landed on your new website. Go for user-friendly and intuitive. It's really important. I think I have learned that more after I started working with website localization projects too. It has to be obvious and logical for the person landing on your website where to go and what to do, what exactly you're trying to communicate. We know that when we are browsing something online, you don't have the patience to navigate a really complicated website and to, look at a page that's really crowded with text and images. You only have a few seconds to make the right impression. So the design of your website has to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, I do completely. And you're right. I mean, I remember when you took my course and you really kind of knew how you wanted your website to feel, which I think is important. Mm-hmm. And it turned out beautifully how you did it. And I'm glad to hear that you say that you had a graphic designer look at the finished product after you created it. And I believe you had somebody help you with a logo too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. To make it just very cohesive. And I think what you said about not making the website overly complicated is extremely important. Sometimes we overcomplicate these things ourselves, and that stops us from even taking any action. But the thing is, like, you can have a simple website and still it can look great. But the key is to use it to appeal to the clients you want to work with, whoever those right clients are for you. I call them ideal clients, and I know that some people think, well, ideal is unattainable. I would disagree with that. But I think that if you think of, okay, a client who's maybe on a 10-point scale, like a 6 or 7 or above, is the right client for you, that's who you're trying to appeal to, right? And I think that's important what you said about maintaining everything in a cohesive manner, from both images and colors to the layout and format. You know, you need to be able to guide people down your page so that they understand what to do next. It's not just, putting information on a page. And speaking of that, I was going to talk a little bit about copy. So copy is something else you really need to maintain on your website. And as word people, we know how important words are. The design of your website is very important. It's not to say that it isn't, but your copy is what sells. Your copy and the words you use is what's going to do the selling for you. So I think that it's important to remember that your copy and your design, for that matter, are not supposed to be static. Just because you put up a website doesn't mean it's the only website you're ever going to have. And once you do it, you never need to touch it again. And some people groan when they hear that because they think, oh, I have to keep working on this. But, there is, as we're going to mention in this episode, there are smart habits for you to keep in mind to continue working on your website and not make it an overwhelming task. And one of the areas to think about is your copy. So I like to look at my copy a couple of times a year and make sure that it's still written in a way that speaks to my ideal clients or the right clients for me. And that includes, everything from the headlines that I use at the top or on you know, in certain sections, to the calls to action. What is it that I'm asking them to do next? It could be with a button or a link or something like that. But am I sending them to the right next step? Is it logical? And does it make sense for what I've just told them that the next step would be, let's say, checking out my services page or going to my contact page or something like that? And also, something to keep in mind with your copy is to make sure that your copy is written in such a way where it's very succinct. And that is something that I find a lot of people have a hard time with, especially people who come from, who've either been at this a while or who come from the mindset that they have to tell their clients everything up front. You don't have to tell your clients everything up front. In fact, you shouldn't, because most people are not reading all that copy these days on websites. You know, I like to tell people, think about the last time that you went to a website and read the entire thing from start to finish. Nobody will say that they do that, right? It'd be very unusual, yeah. Unless it's a topic you're incredibly interested in. People just don't do that. So you have to think about what you can tell people that's the most important to them, and which is not necessarily the most important thing to you always. But, you know, make sure that you're doing that in a succinct way and in a way that's really reader friendly. So copy that's written for the web is quite different from copy written in a document. You know, you want to make sure you have a lot of line breaks and things like that in there. You want to have white space around your text so it makes it easy to read and skim. But those are like little minor things when it comes to making updates, but they do make a big impact. And then the last thing I'll say about updating your copy and maintaining your copy over time is something that sounds very simple, but a lot of people overlook it and don't do it. And that is making sure that what you say on your website about your services or about the areas you serve as far as specializations, making sure that that still reflects what you want to keep doing going forward. Because I talk to a lot of people and they say, well, I work with these three different types of clients, but I don't really want any more of this kind of work because it doesn't pay well, or I don't like working with people in that area anymore, or it's just not fulfilling to me anymore. Whatever the reason, the point is they don't want to keep doing it, but they've kept it on their website. So of course people are going to think that they still do those things. Yeah. You know, why wouldn't they? So if it's something that you don't want to keep doing, or is something that you do want to do going forward, maybe it's a new service, maybe it's a new area of specialization. That's the type of thing that when you update your copy on your website and you're maintaining your website regularly, you should be sort of auditing that text and making sure that it still reflects what you want to keep doing going forward. So I think that's a huge thing to think about when it comes to maintaining your website. And like I said, I only do it a couple times a year, and I think that that's enough. But, you know, that is something that I think a lot of people, if they were to go and look back at their website today, they might go, whoa, this is kind of outdated now that I think about it, you know? Yeah. Okay. So those are the most common things that people think about when it comes to their website, the copy and the design, right? But those aren't the only things that we should maintain on our website. We should also be thinking about the content on the individual pages of our sites and how it might need to be updated from time to time. For example, your client testimonials might need some updates, your contact page, perhaps you have a new way for clients to contact you, or maybe you need to add something to your about page or your bio. This is something that is very easy to update, but again, it's one of those things that we just get busy with our work and with life and we forget to go and do it. I mean, for me, I know that I need to add some new testimonials to my site. I think that that's an easy thing that can become quickly outdated if you're maybe not wanting to work in a certain area anymore, or if you're wanting to work in an area where you just started working, maybe you want to include a client testimonial on that particular like area of specialization that reflects that type of work. So one way to do this is to keep asking for client testimonials from your clients and do that on a regular basis. Let's say you ask for 2 per quarter. That's not a whole lot, right? Anybody can do that. When it comes to the contact page, for example, maybe you want to think about updating your contact info, especially if you decided, oh, hey, maybe I want to add a contact form, or maybe I've changed my email address and I forgot to update it on my website. These are the types of things that are easy to check and easy to change and just need a little bit of time on your hands to do that. And then finally, one that I find myself that I tend to forget to update more frequently is the about page. And some people like to call that their bio. And that is, like, if there's any new information you want to share with your clients, or if there's any outdated information that you're like, you know, this isn't really relevant anymore, you might want to remove that. So take a look at your about page or your bio page on a regular basis too, and make sure that you are including information there that you want your clients to know about you. Maybe you have done some new work for your volunteer work, or maybe you want to share something like a new presentation that you just gave, or something to that effect that's actually really relevant to your work. Those are the types of things that might be worth updating. And at the same time, update your resume, because why not, right? I mean, it's all kind of connected there. But I'm not saying put your resume on your website. I'm just saying keep everything in sync and cohesive. What else do you think needs frequent updates, Veronica?
Yeah, I think the you mentioned a few examples there that are often overlooked. And it's so important to think of the types of services you're listing on your website versus what you actually want to keep doing, you know? So I think as you review your business goals or check in to see how your business have been going for, say, the last quarter, it's really important to take a look at your website to see, is that actually what I'm telling the world I'm doing and mm-hmm. I want to do more of?
Right.
And then maybe even adding a couple of examples of projects or documents you can help with. You know, it's really good for SEO purposes. Say if you're working on in a specific specialization, you can, if you have like a dedicated page for that type of service, you can add a few new examples of what type of work in that field you can help your clients with. That will help boost your SEO as well. And then when a client finds that page, or if you share that page with a client, they can actually go in and see, oh yeah, that's exactly the type of document or exactly the type of projects I have. And sounds like, you know, you may be the right fit. And then testimonials, yes, absolutely. And or portfolio or samples, whatever you're sharing on your website to show, you know, to in terms of social proof or client proof, you know, to show how it is mm-hmm. working with you, what it's like. What else? I think the about page, yes. And also, like, if you got any new credentials, like certifications, if you say passed a certification exam, or your memberships and professional associations have changed, maybe you joined a new one, maybe you're no longer a part of another one that, you know, you are still listing on your website. Mm-hmm. So that part too is worth checking and updating as needed. And yeah, it's really important to be concise, because I think sometimes people find it difficult to strike the right balance between like sharing their entire life story versus like a brief yellow pages listing, you know. And I try to think of myself when I am looking for a service and I go on the company's website. I want to feel like, I don't want to read their whole life story, but I want to feel that I can trust them.
Right.
And that can usually, you know, you can describe that in a short paragraph. So right. Think of that too when you update your website. And yeah, I would say that's the ones I typically remind myself to update regularly. Okay, but what about other things that come up that we need to update behind the scenes? Some of us need to frequently update plugins, if you're using WordPress, for example, or check to make sure all our links are working properly. So there are certain things you might need to update behind the scenes that won't be visible to your, you know, not necessarily visible right away to your website users, but they help your website work better. It could be links. For example, if you have links on your website that go from images or from any, you know, parts of copy, you might need to check that all the links still work. And there are tools out there like the Dead Link Checker that can help you find out what links aren't working and need to be fixed. Sometimes images cause a problem. It happens to me when I go to a website and see that there's supposed to be an image there, but it's like blank, you know, where there's like a placeholder for an image. So that obviously doesn't work for some reason. Maybe your website looks different on mobile versus desktop. So it's good checking that too after you make any major updates behind the scenes to see that that the mobile version still looks okay and that the desktop version looks good too. Anything, I would say anything SEO related, because that might be hard to stay on top of. So if you do a little bit every now and then, that could be helpful. Like the, you know, the titles, the metadata, the anything that links your website to other places online, like your directory profiles and so on. And by doing that too, thinking about the cohesive image that you're presenting to the world. Because if your clients see your website and then see that your resume looks a little different, and then your maybe your directory profile looks a little different too, and your business card, like it has to have some like a common theme. There has to be something in common. You may, maybe it's your logo, maybe it's your brand colors. Obviously, the services should match, like your on your CV and your website and your business card and whatever else you're presenting to your potential clients. I would say these are the things that come to mind. Oh, the speed as well, right? That your website loads quickly. And there could be other things too that I haven't thought of. Do you have any thoughts on this? What other things could be updated behind the scenes?
Yeah, I do. And thanks for mentioning about checking your site speed. We can include some links in the show notes for this episode about some free site speed checkers. And Google makes one that's very easy to use. Mm. And it'll tell you what is also perhaps slowing your site down, if anything. Because one thing to think about is that your site speed needs to be fairly fast to keep people interested and on your page. Mm. And then also you mentioned broken links. That's really important to check regularly. I do this quarterly. I use a site called brokenlinkcheck.com. Mm-hmm. It's a real basic site. It almost looks like it's too outdated to be used anymore, but it's not. It's really good and it's free. So we'll include that in the show notes as well. And then also I was going to say, not just broken links, but making sure that your links lead to where they're supposed to actually go. Mm. I come across sites sometimes where I'll click a link and it's not that the link is broken, it just leads to the wrong place, right? And so that's something to check and think about, because that's part of the user's experience on your website. It should logically go to the right place. And those are usually easy fixes. So something else to think about is also just to make sure that you are updating things on your website that you might normally not think much about. So one of those things you said was links, and then you also mentioned site speed. And I think you made a good point about mobile. Things do look quite different on mobile than they do on desktop computers. And so you need to think about who your clients are. And let's say they are clients who are usually very much on the go. They may very well be looking at your site on mobile a lot of the time. That is something you can see on the back end of your website, how people are accessing your site. I know that the majority of my clients are accessing my website via desktop computers, but I do want to make sure that mobile is very accessible as well. Another thing to think about updating regularly is something that does appear on the front end, but it has to do with user navigation as well. And that is to make sure that your navigation bar is something that still works for your website. So for example, here's an example. I have on one of my websites, so the one for my boutique translation agency, I have a page for people to go who want to work with my agency, but I can't tell you how many people will apply to work with us through the client contact form, which is absolutely not the place. We have a huge form for people to fill out, give us all their information if they want to work with us. And I get, you know, one or two people per week at least who are filling out the wrong form. So that tells me that either there's something in the navigation bar that's wrong, or people are just not paying attention, or maybe both. So that's something that I need to update on my end to make it really clear where people can apply. But that kind of thing, like think about, does your website have the information that people are looking for, whether they're clients or not? And how easy is it to get to? So not only maybe in your main navigation menu at the top, but also in a footer navigation would probably be a good idea. And then you mentioned something about checking backlinks. Those are external links that come from other sites to your site, but also checking external links from your site to other sites. So backlinks are really important. So anytime, let's say you're a member of an association and you have a profile directory listing, or you have your LinkedIn profile or any other social platform profiles, you want to make sure that those links from those other sites are also updated and go to the right site, which is your site, right? So if you change your domain, or if you don't have your website yet linked on those profiles, that's something else to think about. And that's not necessarily maintaining your site, but it is sending people to the right place. And then the external links, that can be checked, like I said, with that free brokenlinkcheck.com that I like to use, or any of those types of sites that are free. Those are super simple to use, and they give you a report very quickly about any links to update. And then I would say, so since I sort of started talking about it already, what about ways to send your clients to your website? This isn't necessarily working on the back end of your website, but it is thinking about the client or user experience and how they get there. Mm-hmm. After all, if you're going to do the work of maintaining your site, you do want clients to be able to help, to be able to see it, and to be able to find you. So I would say when you do your site maintenance, or if you want to spread it out, you know, you could, like, let's say once a quarter during a certain month, you could do the website maintenance on the back end of your website. And also, you know, check the design and copy, make sure all of that is how you want it to be. And then on maybe another month or week or whatever, you schedule time to work on how you're sending clients to your website. So some places to think about that are really important to link back to your website would be, and these are what are called backlinks, by the way. These would be places where you appear online, and it's not just your LinkedIn profile or your association directory profile listings or social media. Those are all important, and those definitely need to be linked back to your website because clients can find you in a variety of ways. But other things you could think about are, let's say you speak at a virtual conference and you have a bio. Make sure that you include your website in that bio. Or if you write an article somewhere, whether you publish it on LinkedIn or you publish it elsewhere, make sure that in your bio section, you have a link back to your website. Something else to think about is to make sure that you put your website link in your email signature. A lot of people don't do this. I don't really know why, because people are looking for more information about you. I would challenge everybody to also make sure that they turn on a Google alert for their own name. And if you have a very common name, you might want to add something to it like plus translator or plus interpreter or something like that, because you may show up online in places you didn't even know. And those are places where you could put a link to your website as well and get more traffic. I think that these are the kinds of things that we often don't think about until we just see them come up like, oh yeah, I'm listed there. But this is a fine opportunity to take advantage of that and link back to your website. So turn on Google alerts for your name so that you can make sure that you can ask somebody to include a link to your website at some point. And also the other way around. I like to tell people in my website course that if you're going to show that you're a member of a certain association, or you're going to say, you know, share your certification or something, you should use images, the logos from those associations, and not just link the logo back to the website of the association, but link that logo back to your profile directory listing on that association's website. That way, not only do people get to see what that association is about, but they get to see more about you in relation to that association,
right?
So you're keeping this messaging going. You touched a little bit on keywords and SEO. It's really, really important to think about search engine optimization. I'm actually working on a masterclass about this coming up soon because I was asked in my last masterclass to create this, and it's something I already have a lot of content for. But SEO is something that scares a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be scary at all. You just have to think about how your potential clients are searching for somebody who provides your types of services. What are some keywords that they're putting into search engines? And a lot of those may be very obvious, but there may be some that you hadn't thought about before. You need to make sure to include those on your website, in your copy, as well as in other places, like you said, page descriptions, meta descriptions, as the names of files for images, especially in alternate text as well. And, you know, we can probably provide all kinds of resources for ways to do this in the show notes as well. But there are some simple ways to update your search engine optimization and get a lot of traction out of it. I know that a colleague of ours, Lucy Gunderson, took my SEO challenge course through Training for Translators. And within like, I think it was a 20 day long challenge. And within like the first 10 days, she only had time to execute that much before she got busy with work. And she said, just the simple tweaks she made, and they're not hard, you can do these too. Just the simple tweaks she made her website show up on the first page of Google for the term Russian human rights translator. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can all do this. You can go a lot further down that path. You can pay somebody to work on your SEO for you, but you don't have to. There is a lot you can do with just a little bit. So that should be part of your maintenance process as well. Do you agree with that, Veronica?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think while SEO may sound scary, it's really important to understand how it works so that you're not, you know, because yes, it's convenient to just pay somebody to fix it for you, but then you're still left with that lack of knowledge of what exactly needed tweaking.
Yeah.
And just working on SEO for your website and your online presence in general helps you understand your clients better. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that we often underestimate too is that our clients may speak about us and the services we provide using different words, you know, that aren't the same as we use in, you know, within the profession. Because every profession and every field has its own jargon, and so do we, translators and interpreters. So it's really, it kind of opens up your mind too when you learn how your clients are searching for our types of services.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and what I would say too is, I think, you know, what your domain is like, and the fact that you can have several domains linked to your website, that is something that I learned a while ago from you, and I was like, what? You know, and you can buy very specific domains that can sound exactly like the type of stuff your clients would be searching for online, and you can link them to your website, and they will all be leading people to your pages. And then if you're a member of any client professional associations, or if you're attending any client-facing conferences, making sure that you list your website in your profile. And even like if you're participating in any forums through that professional associations where it's mostly your potential clients hanging out, make sure that it's in your signature or you mention it, you know, in closing. And if you have several specializations, you could even, rather than putting in the address to your website, like your front page, you could put in the link to that page that is the exact specialization these people would be looking for, you know? So they don't just land on your website and be like, well, this person seems to be doing stuff that's not exactly, you know, what I'm working in. But then if it's a specific page, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I need, or that's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. And then anything like any, I think you mentioned like LinkedIn and other places like Google My Business, for example. I love Google My Business, and I make sure that not only is my website, you know, listed there, but also what helps too in Google My Business, you can post updates for, you know, like kind of client facing updates. And they don't have to be like a mini blogs. I mean, some businesses do that, but I don't. But if there is something major that happened with your business, or you want to post an update about your services, or examples of recent projects that could be relevant, you can also do that and link to the specific page on your website. And that will help your SEO as well. Yeah. So let's share a few final tips for those who feel overwhelmed by having a website and having to maintain it, all that goes with it. While everything we talked about today may sound like a lot to do, we did say at the beginning of this episode that it doesn't have to be overwhelming, right? And it's true. If you put some simple processes in place, you can maintain your website and spread out the work so you're not spending hours and hours handling the finer details of your website maintenance. And I would say that having some kind of project management system, like a program like we often talk about, Asana, or if you prefer Trello, Trello can be really helpful too, where you can really break it down into little steps and set reminders for yourself and keep yourself accountable. And that also helps. That sort of analysis paralysis could be like, oh, I need to update my website. What exactly does it mean? You know, you can break it down and sit, like you said, you know, on a specific date, you will look at your about page. On another date, you will look at another page, you know, just breaking it down. And even breaking the tasks down to even smaller steps, like just review the copy, you know, and then you will look at the images another day, and then you will check the links that they and see that they work another day. Mm-hmm. So really breaking it down and then spreading out the work. I also think that having what I call my quiet day list, you know, if you have days in your business where you don't have a lot of paid work, or maybe you have scheduled a kind of a day off paid work, within your working week or during your month, having a list of things you would like to do on those kind of days is really helpful. And I would say looking at your website should definitely be on that list. But again, try and be very specific, you know, and mention what kind of page you would like to take a look at first, or what's the priority there. Is it your testimonials page or your about page that needs attention? What have you not looked at the longest? And when it comes to testimonials and client reviews, I think that for me personally, it's easier to think about updating them around the holidays, when I tend to connect with my clients to say that I enjoyed working with them, to thank them for working together this year. Usually there's some kind of kind note coming back from them, and that is a good opportunity to say, oh, it's so nice of you to say that. Do you mind if I use this on my website as a review or as a testimonial? Maybe send them a link if you have a way to collect testimonials. Send them a link to the form to collect that, because you're already having that conversation, and it might be easy, since they already said something nice to you or wrote something nice to you, it might be easier for them to just put it in writing. But yeah, it's personally, I try to look at it twice a year at my website, meaning, you know, all sorts of elements of my website. But then I spread out the work by saying, say, beginning of, late in the year, I focus on testimonials and looking back at what projects I completed this year and seeing if I want to mention any specific keywords relating to these projects, types of projects or types of documents on my services page. Then early in the year, I look at my about page and see if I want to update anything there. So yeah. I think having some focus area and then setting reminders for yourself, putting it on your calendar, or putting it in your project management system makes it much easier. Do you have anything to add, Madalena?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. And also, I think breaking it down into smaller tasks makes it very, very manageable and a lot less overwhelming. So yeah. I think that's our big, you know, takeaway smart habit for today. But something that I like to do, and the end of the year is a great time to do this as well, but if you're going to do any kind of business audit or business retreat for yourself, like we often talk about here, I like to focus on updates to my website, usually after I've done that, because oftentimes what comes out of that audit or retreat is very telling in what I kind of work I want to continue working on for my clients going forward. So it's a good time to think about overall. In fact, you could include this in your business audit, looking at your website and seeing what needs to be updated, but like the vision you have for your business going forward. Do you want to include anything new on your website or remove anything from it? That's a good time to, once you've reflected on your business, to make updates to your website too. So that might be a good follow-up for that process that I would highly recommend doing that, sort of, since you're already thinking about it, you know, why not tack that on there to make it, you know, sort of a nice way to close the loop on your audit, so that you can say, yep, I have this vision for my business. These are the types of clients I want to work with this year. And now my website reflects that as well. So that's something to think about too. Okay, so maybe we should wrap this up here, since we could probably talk about websites for a lot longer. We hope that you found this episode useful for your business and website planning and maintenance. Please let us know if you have any processes or strategies to share with us, or if there's anything specific that you're struggling with. You can leave a comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find on our website, or you can tag us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. And before we go, let's do a smart habit check-in and share a favorite read for our Book Nook segment. What do you think of that, Veronica?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So my habit is, or what I wanted to mention today is, in terms of smart habit progress, mm-hmm. is working on my boundaries and reminding myself what my boundaries are and sticking to them. Mm-hmm. I recently had a coaching session with Dorothy Rossett, who was on our podcast a year ago. We should link to that episode. And she's a certified coach and she's wonderful. So in that session, mm-hmm. she helped me formulate my ground rules, which are in essence my boundaries, you know, what I should be enforcing when it comes to myself as much as people I work with in various areas of my life and working life. So I really that was just so helpful. I was so motivated and inspired by that session that I put these boundaries or ground rules in a nice template in Canva. I printed it out and I put it in front of my desk as a visual reminder. And I make a habit of whenever I feel overwhelmed or I feel like I need to take a difficult decision or do something, respond to something that I'm not quite comfortable with, I just glance at that list and I feel like it's really grounding, you know, it's a great reminder for me. Like, yeah, these are the things I talked through with someone and I agreed were important for me. So that list really helps me stick to my ground rules and maintain my boundaries. So that's a habit I am working on right now. And as far as the Book Nook, the book I am currently reading is very fitting. It's about boundaries as well. It's called Set Boundaries, Find Peace, A Guide to Reclaiming Yourself by Nedra Glover Tawab. And we'll link to it in the show notes. And I, not that I've struggled too much with boundaries, but I felt like it was very, it was a great time for me to learn more about maintaining them. And what I liked about the book is that the author talks about various types of issues we tend to have with boundaries. It's not like you have no boundaries or you have them. There's a lot of in between. There's a lot of gray area there, and it could be different challenges when it comes to you sticking to your boundaries. And she also covers various areas where boundaries are important and how to enforce them, like our personal life, our relationships with friends and family, work relationships, even using social media and technology. And I felt that there's a lot to learn, in especially on some of these topics that you don't read or hear a lot about. So I'm really liking this book so far. What about you, Madalena?
Wow, that's excellent. And I agree that working with Dorothy is wonderful. So I highly recommend talking with her about anything related to boundaries, productivity, a big project you want to work on. She's a great coach. What I'm working on right now as far as a smart habit is having very specific times where I work on my work, and then also very specific times where I'm not working at all, which is difficult sometimes to draw that line, because I'm somebody who really enjoys my work, which I think we've talked about mm-hmm. here quite a bit. I guess you could call this boundaries too, but it's sort of boundaries in the sense of myself, not mm-hmm. necessarily for anybody else. But you know, I find that if I can have a full weekend to just recharge and not work on anything related to my business or to my volunteer work, then I come back for the week very focused and motivated. And it also helps me to stay on task and get the things done that I need to do without feeling overwhelmed because there is just so much to do. So my smart habit is really drawing that line and saying, okay, this is my time to myself, to my, you know, for my family or time off or whatever, and not letting other things creep into it. So that's my big thing for 2022. I've always tried to sort of work that way, but you know, it is, it's easy to get busy and then forget about that. So
Yeah.
And so the book that I read recently, I finished it in December, but I would recommend it. It's called Local Woman Missing, and it's by Mary Kubica. I'm not sure how she says her name, but we'll link it in the show notes. It's a thriller, essentially. As you know, I like thrillers. and it's about two people who actually went missing and how the stories are actually intertwined. And it's just very well written. I don't think this is her first book. But it did come out just in the middle of 2021. So it's a new book and it's just very suspenseful. It's well written. It's a sort of a domestic thriller, if you want to call it that. And it just, shows how well the author describes a character to where you think so much good about them. And then you find out something they've done and then you think, wow, does that change my opinion of this character now? It's just really cool. It's a very well-written book, so good read. And I do recommend that one for sure. Yeah, so we'll link to those.
Okay, that's a wrap on this episode. Stay tuned for more as we have so much in store for you this year with lots of fun episodes and some wonderful guests coming up soon. We will also continue to hold our quarterly virtual business retreats, so if you would like to work together with us and a friendly group of colleagues and tackle some challenges and goals in your business, check out our website for details and to register. Our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving your emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute and we've recorded a quick tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.